fighting for America.
We've got some fundamental choices to make about the kind of country we want to be.
We have 47 new members of Congress on the Republican side who've never had the chance to cast their vote to repeal Obamacare.
Fighting for Idaho.
This guy that talked about when he was 6 years old, if you wanted to be a girl, I want to be a pumpkin pie. But that doesn't mean I can climb up on the table at Thanksgiving and let everybody pick at me.
Fighting for you.
I just want to thank you, Kevin, for being there. You put your head on the line all the time. Your neck is out there. But we appreciate you and those who call in.
Boise's Mr. Right.
God bless.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 5 after 7. Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, our friend Mike Baker will join us, but we were having such a spirited debate, we never got to the Attorney General talk. If you're just tuning in, our friend the litigator, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us, and he was giving me a verbal tongue-lashing, I believe, concerning add the words, and we agree to disagree, and we just basically wonder where the movement will go from here when you hear Cindy Gross saying,
we are glad to see that we have some momentum building. We have so many supporters across the state, and we will be here until this bill passes. There is no compromise. There is no exception.
Now, here's the other thing. You're going to make a lot of friends this way. Then you have the chairman of the House State Affairs Committee saying this.
I'm calling on the people of this state to stop the cruelty. It has no place in our society. I'm calling on people everywhere to get over themselves.
I don't see the cruelty, and I think if it existed, it would be on the front page of the paper. Sir, what say you?
Well, the problem with the Add the Words campaign in this legislative session dealt with the overextension of protection to, if you will, for lack of a better term, transgenders being able to decide for themselves if they wish to shower in a public shower with children of the opposite sex. And that's what basically came down in the vote. The issue, the underlying issue of whether or not people of the same gender will be able to at some point in time be able to determine for themselves who they can marry is an ongoing battle, and that they will eventually, I believe, win, just as in the 60s, the African Americans were able to defeat the Jim Crow laws and other laws.
Well, they did it again with the help of the folks in the North as well, a lot of white folks as well. Let's go to Jim in Middleton at 580KIDO with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. I have a question for Mr. Morton. Has anyone been convicted in Idaho for discrimination against gays, lesbians, and so forth for either work or housing?
Well, I do know that
there. Just a yes or no answer. Well, just a yes or no answer.
The answer is there have been many complaints of prejudice with respect to the issue.
I asked if there was any conviction, sir.
There's no crime under Idaho law. That's why they're arguing that they should
be convicted. Yeah, that I believe it is a crime if you discriminate against somebody with their ethnicity or their sexual orientation, and they get fired for just that reason.
There are federal protections that are not being specifically enforced in the state of Idaho, and they've been arguing that that's a prosecutorial discretion based upon the protections under state law, which are deficient. There are federal laws, but we don't have prosecutors, local prosecutors, that concern themselves with trying to protect the enforcement of federal law, just as you have in the case of illegal aliens being in this country. You don't see sheriffs out there arresting the illegals here. You see federal immigration on occasion doing the job, which that job now has been terminated by executive order. And so the question, as you have posed, is a misnomer. I've had many, many people come to me as a trial lawyer asking for my services to represent them because they've been wrongfully denied housing, which they believe based on gender. And I got to tell you, it's not a matter of hypocrisy on my part. I don't handle those cases.
Well, all right. I let you go long enough. You did not answer my question.
I did. Okay? I told you no.
Well, no, you didn't, sir. I asked you if there was any convictions.
And I said no.
And you couldn't.
Yeah, weren't you
okay,
listening, or do you just
right?
talk? Do
that's,
you just
that's,
talk?
You answered that question. Thank you. Now, I want to ask you this, okay? I spoke with Ms. LaFaver myself, personally. And I was very earnest and sincere, and I asked her the same question. Can you name anyone where you or any of you, the gay and lesbian community, have been discriminated against? And I says, if so, I will march with you anywhere, anytime. She says, I can't answer that. I'm not going to tell you who and what have you, because it's going to be a conflict or what, all right? That makes absolutely no sense. What you're implying, sir, is that everyone in Idaho, or most people in Idaho, are racists or bigots. Okay?
Totally
and I'm telling
incorrect.
You that there may be one or two, but for the most part, they're not. I own many.
Are gays in the state
of
Idaho
Valley.
Able
let
to
me,
choose who they marry or not? No, answer my question. You've gone on,
okay, go
you
ahead.
Know, on
go
a
ahead.
Political agenda.
All right, I'll answer your question. Go ahead.
Are gays entitled to choose who they can marry if their candidate for marriage happens to be of their same gender?
Yes, sir, they do.
Gays can
okay,
marry here in the state of Idaho?
Not under the
where?
Eyes of the religious law, but under the eyes of courthouse marriage.
Yeah,
yes, they
the
do.
Ada County Courthouse you can marry.
Church and state, and they disagree with that. But yes, they do have the right, sir. But I don't believe that people have the right to go into one bathroom to another from one day to the next. That's a mental health issue.
You know, I agree with you there, Jim.
All right.
And your answer is correct.
All right. We appreciate that. Thank you, Jim, for the call. We go to Jim in CUNA at 580KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got a question regarding, I think, what this guy was tagging on at the very end. I mean, when do you cross the line or have a definitive line with, perversion versus progressivism? It used to be called sodomy, and now it's called gay and lesbian rights and transgender rights. I mean, the law keeps changing to allow more things that we used to consider perverse or, you know, society by society stick in the head, like this guy just said. So, but when we keep redefining the law, when's it going to stop? Where's it going to end? That's my question.
You have to ask that question to the legislature. As we said early in the program, the only thing that is constant in our universe is change. Change
so
in political
beliefs. So you're going to legislate morality then? Is that the ultimate thing that's going to happen? Where do we draw the line?
The laws against sodomy that you mentioned earlier was, in fact, a law predicated on morality, was it not?
Well, I do believe so, based on the religious standard that our society has thrown away. So,
and I understand
that. What do we do?
I understand early in my career in Idaho, as I came here, there was a great debate amongst prosecuting attorneys as to whether or not they were going to attempt to force the law against sodomy. As I will tell you from personal experience, the issue of statutory rape, you know, that happened in our own household. But the prosecutor of Ada County, a conservative Republican, refused to enforce the law in that regard as one of morality. And I didn't see it that way. I didn't agree with them on that. But there again, that's where you have when you're trying to legislate morality. That's the problem here instead of equal rights. My issue is this. It's what is the role of government in interfering with people's personal choice, particularly when it comes down to fundamental rights of who you're going to marry. That's a very concern. Now, as the previous caller indicated, well, how far do you take that? And I believe that there are limits. There are reasonable limits.
Well,
you know,
there are no limits with the words, folks. We continue.
That needs to be changed,
we
though.
We are glad to see that we have some momentum building. We have so many supporters across the state, and we will be here until this bill passes. There is no compromise. There is no exception.
All right, Jim, thank you for the call. We go to...
Let me attack that one.
Hold on. We go to Ron Paul Jim at 580KIDO with our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, and Kevin Miller. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim.
Hey, Ron Paul
morning.
Jim.
When I was, you know, I agree with the previous callers in the sense that, you know, you were saying, are they allowed to marry who they choose? I'd say, so long as it, you know, under the current definition of marriage, it would be, yes, they have the choice of marrying the same choices that the heterosexual crowd has.
They do now because the Supreme Court has spoken.
Well, I'm saying that that would have been the proper use of the definition of marriage, because something what you're doing is redefining marriage to mean marriage between anything. So, you know, but my personal belief is that the government is using this as another reach into our personal and private lives.
Amen.
Which I do agree with what you were saying, is that it's not their business, and it should be not the government's business to legislate these sort of things that will continue to happen.
And so, as a matter of fact, they also, I remember when early, well, in the 80s, where a man and a woman could decide to marry just by declaring their
And I remember commitment. A thing called civil unions. What are you saying, Ron Paul, Jim?
Well, the government needs to rescind its authority in defining and regulating marriage.
Okay, so then you can marry who or whatever you want.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Anyway.
No, they're not. They're going to be arrested and hauled away.
Back up a minute. Kevin,
what I'm saying is that the recognition of marriage, or having some sort of like tax, advantage for declaring marriage.
Ron Paul, Jim, stuff, you've just nailed it on
no,
the head.
No,
here.
He hasn't.
Yes,
he answered
he
my question.
No,
so we're talking about polygamy. We're talking about same-sex couples. You got a guy in New York that wants to marry his daughter.
This is all about taxation.
This is what we call chaos.
This is
580-5436, 580-KIDO. This is what it's leading to, Alan L. Morton.
This is
law.
About taxation.
Taxation?
Under, yes.
Yeah. I'll tell you about taxation. It's a lot easier if you're single than it is you're married as far as benefits go.
No, it's beyond that.
It is for Kevin Miller, 717, time for traffic at 5.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, folks, if we had the video stream going, just compelling, Alan L. Morton giving me a tongue-lashing here. Attorney at law saying that we're not giving him enough time here for his objective views.
I did not say that.
Sir, you have the floor. Then we have the people that want to, the true people, the people that love America that want to disagree with you coming up.
The whole question of marriage at this point is not just one of control, but it's one of taxation, as the previous caller indicated. It used to be that a man and a woman could just decide, hey, we love each other, we're going to marry each other. We call that common law. But the government didn't find that acceptable. What they wanted to do is be able to tax couples. You have to now go to the county courthouse and get a license and pay for that license. It's an involuntary tax. And, my whole point was, what's the government got to do with any of this? And in fact, if you were married, say, 20 times, prior marriages, would going to the courthouse and registering and getting a license to marry be prohibited? No.
Where in the history of civilization have we had same-sex couples recognized, licensed by governments?
Well, that's what I'm saying is that what business is it of government to make that decision
for us? Aren't we redefining Western civilization?
I don't think so.
Western culture. Let's go to Blair in Ada County with Kevin Miller and Alan L. Morton at 580KIDO. Good morning, Blair.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, it's great to hear from you. I just wanted to point out that with government, whenever you make a law, you've got to have some method of enforcing that. In the history of our country, at least, it used to be up to the people themselves to police what marriages were going to be acceptable and how, it used to be up to the public to shame people into getting married if they had a child out of wedlock. It used to be that way. And our culture has changed so much now that now, We're reverting back to, attempting to force the government to enforce what used to be a societal role. I think that's one of the real problems, is that until you get a culture that decides what it wants marriage to be, we're going to continue to go back to the courts because nobody wants to take responsibility for who's going to decide what marriage is. I support traditional marriage. I do. And I think the government should only recognize, but I have to agree that Alan has a point that it is all about government control and taxation now, because they're the ones that determine whether or not you can get married in the first place. So that was my comment.
All right, Blair, thank you for the call. We go to Tom Munns at 580KIDO. Good morning, Tom.
Man, I'm so confused. I think I'm going to have a coronary, dudes. Hey, I shouldn't call Alan L. Morton a dude, but anyway.
Why not?
It sounds like he's...
He's all for equal rights for everybody.
Well, he sounds like a libertarian progressive, if there's such a thing. I had a couple of thoughts I wanted to mention to him. Number one, SCOTUS does not speak as the supreme authority like the Politburo. It is one of three branches that does not have the authority to be able to trump any of the other two, first of all. Second of all, the common foundation is fundamental law in this country, which is the Constitution built on the biblical foundation. And our founders realized that morality and religion were vital and indispensable supports in the prosperity and freedom of a people. When you undermine that foundation, you completely obliterate any chance for us to be able to have that peace and that prosperity. And so when we start talking about these issues, you know, of immorality, which it is, it's a break in our foundation. The problem is that nobody's mentioning our foundations. Nobody's talking about the proper rule of law. And we're all acting out on opinions and random sort of thoughts.
Sure. Let's get to Alan L. Morton's opinion on this. So do you believe what Tom says, the Supreme Court doesn't have the authority there, isn't the final arbiter?
Well, to
yes
a degree,
no.
Yes. The answer is yes with one caveat.
So you're agreeing with Tom Munns that the Supreme Court is not the supreme decider of the law.
No. They are the final arbiter as to the interpretation of law consistent with the Constitution. However,
so you're disagreeing
when the Supreme Court makes its decision, then it goes back to Congress. If they can muster enough votes, they can, yes, change the law and override the law.
Boom.
But it is.
Well, thank you for that civics lesson. But bottom line is, if the Supreme Court decides something, it's usually the law of the land.
That is correct.
That's because the states are ignorant, and the states don't understand the power they possess. The federal government doesn't have an enforcement mechanism. It never did to be able to enforce federal law, because federal law is only applicable to a certain jurisdiction. What the states have done is we've allowed the federal government to be able to create federal laws that undermine state laws and undermine state sovereignty, and force the people to positions of slavery through the 16th and 17th Amendment and the rest of it all.
We need
to start talking about the historical understanding of this and realizing just because the Supreme Court rules, it gives opinions. The states can merely take those opinions and turn them on their head.
That we disagree on, Tom, and I'll tell you how to fix that problem. That's not correct.
It doesn't matter if you disagree. It's a fundamental fact of law that most attorneys, with all due respect, don't know. You guys learn procedural law.
No, Tom, you're totally wrong.
Totally wrong. Fundamental.
Totally wrong. Here's what the real deal is. If the Supreme Court renders a decision that a law is unconstitutional, it's not the states then that can override the Supreme Court. Rather, what has to happen is that the Congress takes up a bill, basically reversing the Supreme Court by way of constitutional amendment.
All right, there we go. Thank you both for that civics lesson part two. Let's get back to the topic. And talking about adding the words in the definition of marriage itself in the state of Idaho. Lori, thank you for your patience. You're on 580KIDO with Kevin Miller and Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Hello, Lori.
Hello. I'm calling about the Supreme Court has not held that gay marriage is a fundamental right, and they held exactly contrary to that. That's controlling law at the time. The appeal that the case that is controlling law right now, it was an appeal to give it the same status as the race issue, and the court rejected that.
That is also not correct. If you look at the decision rendered by Magistrate Judge Candy Whale, her decision basically was affirmed through the process, through the Ninth Circuit, and by the Supreme Court refusing to grant certiorari on that particular case. They affirmed the decision of the magistrate. And so the magistrate made it very clear in her decision in Idaho that it is a fundamental right. And so
The Supreme Court has held, and that is the controlling law at the time.
The Supreme Court affirmed the decision of the lower court, thereby adopting the decision of the lower court.
No, that is absolutely not.
Ma'am, where did you go to law school? Because you need to get a refund if you did. That's totally and completely wrong.
I'd like to go to the other issue that
you don't have to get
fundamental right.
You don't have to get nasty.
Get her address, and I'll send her a $10 refund.
I'd like to go to the issue of the health and safety issue for the as far as legislating morality. The country has a fundamental interest in the health and safety of its children and raising children in stable homes. And
now, that I agree with.
And so it's not just about morality, and it's the safety and the health of the people are higher in a higher proportion of healthy people if they're in heterosexual relationships, and that goes for same sex or cohabitation outside of marriage. There's less disease and so on. So that is. There is a fundamental, there's no compelling interest. Different courts have held that there's no compelling interest in same-sex marriage because there is a compelling interest in procreation.
All right, Lori, thank you for the call. Alan L. Morton, would you seek to respond to that?
Well, let's talk about where we agree on this issue. Being a father of five and a grandpa of seven, I bristle at the idea that a man who identifies himself as a woman would be able to declare that he could shower in a public shower with any of my granddaughters. I bristle at that. That offends me. And that is so wrong because that impinges, you know, the concept of my ability to flail my arms out in space ends with the beginning of your nose, you know. And so to say that I have a right, and we all see this in addressing law, is that individual liberties and individual rights also has to take into consideration the competing interests of other people's rights, rights of privacy, if you will. And so this problem that Kevin Miller has identified, and rightly identified, which resulted in the killing of this bill in the legislative process this time, identified the problem as such, that this bill, if enacted, could result in men by gender would be able to say, I'm a woman, and go into a public shower and end up showering with a 9-year-old girl who's showering with her mother at the YMCA. And that's one of the reasons why this bill rightly got killed. Now, to say that we're not going to, in the left, to say we're not going to adapt, we're not going to improvise, we're not going to overcome, it's an all-or-nothing deal, flies in the face of what politics does. You know, I appreciate the fact that fundamental rights, if you will, are not to be compromised. But who says it's a fundamental right for a man of gender born as a man can go into a public shower and shower with a 9-year-old girl? Well, I mean, that's absurd.
And that's where we wonder where the standards are with this legislation. More coming up next. Your phone calls, 580-5436. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, what started as a conversation about the Attorney General has blossomed into a full-blown two-hour Donnybrook here with our friend, the litigator, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We were talking about education, and we all kind of got along, and then Alan decided to move the topic to add the words, and it's been an exchange, a healthy exchange back and forth. The idea that you have the add the words people saying this.
We are glad to see that we have some momentum building. We have so many supporters across the state, and we will be here until this bill passes. There is no compromise. There is no exception.
And it's funny because you have a lot of compassionate lawmakers that want compromises, that want exceptions. And by the way, what was it, a new entertainment show, or I think it's entertainment something or other, they've hired the first transgendered reporter. And because you disagree with the lifestyle, does that make you a bad person that you want to keep societal norms, gender identifications? You're a man if you're doing this, or you're a woman if you're doing that. That's where we are at 580-5436. And as someone pointed out to me in an email, whatever happened to we just want a hearing? As I predicted, it's not just a hearing. It's to change not only the laws, but to force you to comply with someone else's lifestyle, not your own.
Last night I was looking at some of the edicts from those that several people listened to, which one would be the Pope, and the most recent communique that came from Salt Lake City by the former Utah Supreme Court Justice Dahlin Oaks, who is now one of their apostles down there, and talking about the need for compassion, the need for strengthening laws that some are on the books and some are not, dealing with the lesbian gay community. I think that it does great disservice to the cause for which they advocate when they say we're not about compromise. Now, I appreciate there are some things that we don't compromise, but when it comes to pieces of legislation like what was attacked, Lynn Luker was astute in withdrawing his legislation last year to figure out a better piece of legislation to be fought
in
the next.
He withdrew it because he was beaten mercilessly
totally
in the press.
Totally
he was
false.
Not ripped in the press for that.
He was not ripped
by emails and people going after him for that. He was not called names for that.
He was, but that's not the reason. I spoke specifically with him in his office and talked with him. He identified later, after submitting the bill, of problems with the bill.
Right, but for people that are not familiar with it, this would protect bakers and other people, photographers and the like. If you didn't want to serve a lesbian couple or a gay couple, you could say, no, it's against my religious beliefs, and that would protect businesses.
It would actually protect businesses and being able to manifestly engage in prejudicial conduct against businesses. And so for that reason is why he withdrew the bill, because of the extension that might have happened in actually promoting prejudice against people.
Well, what does that have to do with Add the Words?
Well, here's the point. You identified the problem with the legislation, saying that a man could yell, you know, I'm a woman.
I'm a woman wearing a hoodie, not even wearing a dress.
Right.
And here we had, and by the way, do we have this? Let's play this clip that happened at our very own state capitol during the Add the Words hearing.
Let me share what I've learned while watching these proceedings so far. Some LGBTs love Idaho and have suffered minimal prejudice. Some hate Idaho, have felt great attacks and threats, actually, and have left the state. Some want to stay in Idaho anyway. All LGBTs want love, respect, and value. Some LGBTs feel great depression at times, and sadly, some commit suicide.
All true.
LGBTs want to be seen as normal. At the same time, they want to be given special group status.
Yep.
It confuses me, frankly. We all have had hard times when we've been rejected. We all want love, respect, and value, too. And yes, we feel great depression, too, and many have committed suicide. So are they just like us, or so different that they need special status? Just as the speaker last night, who was born with cerebral palsy, said, we all have problems. And I say, does this mean, then, that some get special status for their problems? If so, tell me where to sign up, because I got a list of my own that I want protected.
There we have Linda Brown, who listens to this program. She went on to say this.
I've also learned some LGBTs never use a public restroom because they're fearful of reprisals. But some always use a public restroom, whichever one they want to. One did it yesterday. As I was in the ladies' room when waiting for the next available stall, a man in a dress exited a stall and walked toward me. He was one of the LGBT speakers yesterday morning. As has been noted, this can happen with or without the man wearing female attire. For someone with sexual identity preferences, he can just feel like it inside and doesn't have to specifically show it on the outside. I used to believe a man in a woman's restroom was against the law. Apparently it isn't, for even Policeman Chief Mike Masterson said so this morning. It's been going on for years. Which means I don't know why we're worried about bathrooms anymore. If our state legislature and our chief of police of Boise aren't concerned about it, but it sure bothers me.
That's the point.
Well,
let me just say this, counselor. Objection. Overruled. At 580KIDO. that young lady right there personified the voice of reason, of concern, and of compassion of the people here that have a difference of opinion, that have been called names by people that are proponents of Add the Words.
Here's the problem.
Would you acknowledge that?
The problem is this.
You're not going to acknowledge that.
They are...
Okay.
in the argument, the question posed, which the conservative right,
Here's a woman that you're the judge now, okay? Here's a woman that is using a ladies' bathroom in the capital of the state of Idaho, and a guy in a dress comes in there, uses the bathroom. No issue with the police department, because you have Chief Masterson talking about taking a side of the issue, which I think is a challenge. Just saying, look, I don't feel secure going to a public restroom.
I would have liked to have been in that restroom, because I would have chased that son of a gun out. All right?
Those are your words, not mine.
That's right. I'll tell you, this is the situation here, is that we are not in the left. Just totally misses the point on this important aspect by suggesting that they're entitled to a special group status. That totally defeats the point. The point is that what they should be fighting for is equal rights, not special group status. The point is that you win these battles a step at a time, all right? And to argue we want it all in the face of the current political thought and politics is void of reality. If they want to win this fight, you follow the suggestion as former Supreme Court Justice Dahlin Oaks offered. You strengthen the laws of protection to derive equal status in employment and in housing and areas where we have documented discrimination.
And if that's the case, then you have to have a separate law as opposed to amending the Human Rights Act. Because if you read the Human Rights Act, it goes down to public facilities, Section 5, page 2. You're going to have to create a whole new law, not amend the Human Rights Act.
I agree in that regard. I think the problem with this bill is what you identified, that both sides of reason have a problem with. We've heard time and time again on this program the concern about the special group status. We heard from this person for the LGBT community that she herself expressed a concern and a problem, an objection, if you will, to giving men the opportunity to go in and into a woman's restroom, or even worse, into a public shower, showering with 9-year-olds.
Here, let me hit you with this here. Let me hit you with this hypothetical. At 580KIDO. And again, our point is to have dialogue with both sides here. Okay?
Exactly.
That is our agenda, to stir up conversation at 580-5436.
And fix the problem.
Okay, but if you have, and we've had men on this show say, if my wife's in the restroom and there's somebody in there in a dress, I'm going to take him and I'm going to put him through a wall. If that happens, they'll be prosecuted for a hate crime, won't they?
They'll be prosecuted for an assault on something like that.
They'll be prosecuted for a hate crime.
The point being, though, is that
rightly so, but you wait a minute. Rightly so, you just said you would do it.
No, I didn't say I would physically be involved, but I would be.
You said you'd go in there. What would you do?
What? I'd let the world know my opinion on that point.
So you go into a women's restroom and just yell at this person in a man in a dress?
If my wife had to use the facilities and there was a man in there, he would certainly be hearing my opinion on it.
And no fisticuffs.
No, I don't do that.
750, taking your calls, 580-5436. Coming up next, we are going to take a look at a few issues. Number one, the Attorney General, why she's bad for America, according to Alan L. Morton, Attorney at Law.
Next hour, whoa. Not quite that far.
Well, I'm leading the witness. All right. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about guns on college campuses, big story. The colleges are growing broke, protecting you from your right to keep and bear arms. It is 7:50. You're listening to Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
So you're going to legislate morality then? Is that the ultimate thing that's going to happen? Where do we draw the line?
What you're doing is redefining marriage to mean marriage between anything.
You did not answer my question.
I did. Okay? I told you no.
Well, no, you didn't, sir. I asked you if there was any conditions.
And I said no.
You couldn't.
Yeah, weren't you listening, or do you just
right?
talk?
You answered that question. Thank you.
I want to know what you're thinking.
Kevin Miller is talking to you on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:56, we've got about a minute and a half left. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us. Coming up next hour, we'll talk guns. Hey, so Lynch, the attorney general. Apparently, it's okay for the illegals to work here. You don't have to be a legal citizen. And civil disobedience is okay. Is she a bigger disaster than Eric Holder?
What's going to happen here is that we've already got a heads up from Senator Grassley. They're going to confirm her. They've caved in. They have. They have just surrendered and thrown up the white flag of post-hearing. The Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, who's a Republican from Iowa, he toned down his prepared statement when he read it during the last hearing. He said, "I, for one, need to be persuaded that she will be an independent attorney general." That's what he read. But then he departed from the written text and added, "I have no reason to believe at this point she won't be." He read a long list of complaints about the administrative actions, but then he ad-libbed, "As far as I know, Ms. Lynch has nothing to do with the Department of Justice problems I just outlined." Now, does she have the education and the background for the job? She's a graduate from Harvard Law. Her experience as a former prosecutor in Eastern District of New York.
If I wanted her resume, I'd read it. Here's the situation. You have an attorney general that says it's okay for people that are here illegally to work. Is that acceptable to the law? And the issue involving civil disobedience is okay.
Great question. The point is what is the law? The law is not just what Congress says. The law is based on executive order. And when the president gives an order that countermands Congress, then what is the attorney general's obligation
to do? Prosecute the president, that's for sure.
Can't do that. They don't do that. You know, that's a function of impeachment, and that's a function of the House of Representatives and the Senate, not the attorney general.
All right, Alan L. Morton, to be continued. Always leave them wanting more.
There you go.
All right, we're going to talk guns. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Have you seen the front page of the paper? Oh, my. Guns on campus costing colleges money. Oh, boy. There's a slant coming up. We'll tell you the truth about your right to keep and bear arms next. KIDO Napa, Idaho's.